cheery little song.
Oh, gosh,
cheery
have a go.
Yeah, yeah.
Here we
are.
Do you remember ages ago when we didn't even know this song? We asked for a tune and they did this for us and we were thrilled.
I
know. I'm quite bored of it now. Do you
know? I don't mind it. Don't be such a killjoy.
I'm a very difficult woman. I've had a very, very difficult week, Judith. And there's a list of things that have gone wrong for me in the past week. I'll just start with yesterday. Okay, right. On the plus side, I mean, you know, my life is very much the weighing scales at the moment. I've got a lot of stuff in the good side.
Oh,
there's also a lot of stuff in the bad side. And I keep kind of, you know, the scales go, oh, this is good. Oh, fun. And then, oh, shit. Here comes a dollop of shit on your head. So, okay, on the plus side, I have found the best cleaner in the world.
Oh my God! Marvelous.
Honestly, she can't speak a word of English. That is not a problem. It doesn't matter. She's not there to chat. Do you know what she's here to do, Judith?
Au contraire.
She said to me yesterday, she has three words of English, and they are "I love cleaning." She actually said that to my face. Yes, and she was pulling bits out of the kitchen and doing things, and I've never seen anybody. I mean, her eyes light up at the mess, and you wouldn't recognise the place. Honestly, it's so clean. It's so clean. She's so marvellous, and I absolutely adore her. And she's called Lucy, and nobody else can have her. My sister's already sniffing around her.
You know, I bet she is.
Sarah and I had the same cleaner for years and years and years. We had Dulcie.
The Portuguese lady.
Yeah,
went back to Portugal.
Marvellous.
Yes.
Well, Lucy is Portuguese as well. And Dulcie's gone back to Portugal. And Sarah has been with Sans cleaner ever since Dulcie went, because she's difficult.
Dear.
She's more difficult than me. And I've had a couple of disasters. But Lucy has come into my life. And I am sort of rather precious of her. But anyway, she left. And I just thought, God, this place is immaculate.
Does she use nice smelling polish? Does it smell clean when she's
gone? it's just clean, Judith. It's clean to the bone. You know, it's
like deep clean.
You know how your teeth feel after you've been to the hygienist?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, she's got into the sockets of the place.
Is she opening cupboards? Is she getting crumbs out of those cupboards of yours?
Yeah, I think
doing the fridge.
Well, yesterday.
She will this get is. To
that. She will get to that, but she's only been here. She's on her third week, and you can see her sort of cracking it. It's like a case that she's cracking week by week, and little bits of it are getting better and better. And she, you know. And she's even eyeing up the ironing. And I said, no.
She's Are you
doing
sure
four
she's not
hours.
Kind of casing the joint for a burglary or something?
She's too good to be true, and it's absolutely wonderful. And we deserve her. I've decided we deserve her. But I want to give her presents. I keep looking around thinking, what can I give Lucy? And I don't know, because I can't speak to her. I can't say, do you like scent? Do you like something for the bath? Because, you know, people give me stuff for the bath, and obviously because of my vagina, I can't put anything smelly in the bath.
No, yeah, me too. I can't, it's boring,
there's a few bits and bobs. And you think, am I crossing a line if I give her stuff? You know, is this appropriate?
Of course you're not. Of course you're not.
We'll get there. But anyway,
that's the good side, right?
That's the good side. So, right. In my immaculate kitchen last night, I thought, fuck me if I'm cooking. I'm not spoiling this. Because I was going to make a curry. But in the fridge was a fish pie, an oven-ready fish pie for me. And because, you know, Jeff doesn't eat fish because he's like a four-year-old child. And he's scared of bones. And there was a chicken tikka, you know, Charlie Bingham's for Jeff. And I thought, I'll just put these in the oven. The oven didn't come on, Judith. The oven
didn't come on.
The oven just kept fusing. It just kept blowing.
Oh, no.
I put the oven on. All the lights upstairs went.
Oh, Jesus.
God. And, I know, Judith. And it was already 8 o'clock. I'd had my bath. And I just felt a bit weak. At this point, I thought, why does everything good have to be spoiled? I thought, I'm not even going to do a takeaway, because I have a guilt thing about takeaways. I don't like to see them cycle up the hill on bikes with boxes on their backs. I think it's horrible. So anyway,
yes,
I went.
Yes, I know what you mean. That is quite a schlep, isn't it?
It really is. And it's sort of, you know, some of them have motorbikes and all that kind of thing, but not everybody. And I can't bear it. It's all kind of a bit old colonial. It's a bit. Bleh. Anyway, we've got some nice neighbours. Everyone's nice, you know, but next door wasn't in. But next door beyond, it's a family. And it's like really Enid Blyton family. They're all sort of gingery kids. And And they've got loads of bicycles in the hall and stuff like that. And they're really nice. Anyway, she opened this door. They opened the door. And I've never seen anything like it. This animal was there on the doorstep. Now, can you guess what it was, Judith? I've never seen anything like it. We are not in the country. I mean, it might be commonplace to you.
Okay. I'm going to guess it was a rabbit that they keep inside. Because I know people do...
Yeah, well, Flopsy used to come indoors quite a lot. Never mind a rabbit inside. You can hoover up the poo. No, it wasn't. It was a duck. It was a huge...
A huge duck?
Yeah. Apparently, I mean, I think I got the story straight, but I was so sort of taken aback. Have you ever stroked a duck? A big fucking duck.
No, because I'd be worried that they would flap the wings and I'd hate that.
Well, I don't know if ducks do much wing action. I think you're thinking sort of geese and all that sort of thing. So she had to hold its beak shut because it pecks. It pecks, pecks, pecks. I mean, I've never been that close up and personal to a duck, a big duck. And she said, just feel its flanks. And it was like a cross between a horse and a bird. And
it was like silky.
So smooth. I have never felt anything so smooth in all my life, Judy. I mean, it was the most extraordinary sensation. I mean, you know, like when you stroke a cat, which I very rarely do because they bore me, you can feel the bones beneath it and the body. Yes. There's nothing. Yes. A fat duck, you could feel no carcass at all.
Well, it's like water off a duck's back, isn't it? So I suppose it would have to be
slightly oily. Yes.
Oily.
Yeah, Judith, it's a glorious sensation. Yeah.
I'm confused because...
Why?
Because the oven's not working. You need something for your tea. Assume that you're in my pyjamas. You're going to knock on next door. Why? Why?
Because I've got the ready meals. I've got the ready meals with me that they're going to heat up for me. I haven't got an oven.
I'm not going to scrounge some food.
No. What do you think I was going to do? Kidnap the duck and roast it in the fire pit. No, I've got these ready meals, Judith, and I took them with me. I said, I hate to do this, but, you know, can you just sling these in your oven? I'll be back in 50 minutes.
Right.
And they were very, very accommodating. And then I was met with this duck. And it just sort of ended this rather surreal day, Judith. That's what it did.
So it's a pet duck. They've got a pet duck.
It's a pet duck, yes. Do you know what happened? Gosh. Apparently, the children were doing some kind of project at school. And it was hatching an egg. And they successfully hatched an egg in their class.
Bloody hell.
And two ducks came out. And the teacher panicked and said, who wants the ducks?
So maybe
his family
it's a dog.
Like that.
They adopted it.
Well, yeah, they adopted both of them, but a fox, obviously, because at South East London, it was full of fucking vermin around here. You know, people think you have to live in the countryside to be surrounded by wildlife. You don't. You don't. It's here. It's in our back garden, shitting all over the place. And I have to say that while I was there, the duck did shit on the floor. And she reached for a cloth that was on the kitchen side. I said, I hope you're not going to use that cloth to get my oven meals out in 45 minutes. Anyway, duck shit.
Because duck shit is not as neat, is it, as rabbits? It's kind of,
it's a sloppier poo.
Quite messy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You're echoing. Bloody Where hell. Are you? Where are you?
I'm back in Cornwall, I'm afraid. I'm all over the place at the moment. It's kind of here, there, everywhere, and I'm about to go to Croatia.
Well, at least you're not in a fucking tent. At least you've got out of the tent.
Absolutely.
God, did you enjoy being at home?
Cupboards, doors, bar, architecture.
In fact, it's great, isn't it? Now and again, just you've got to go camping, have a night in a tent, just to make you appreciate your own life.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. So, yes, I'm back in Cornwall. Had a really, for the first time, we had some people that left the place in a bit of a shitty mess.
Were they family friends, Judith, or not?
Friends of friends. Dare tell the friend.
This. It's a good way of breaking news, really, isn't it? Public broadcasting system.
I know.
No, we're not naming names, but, I mean, this is the thing, because, you know, my sister has this place in Wales that she rents out. I mean,
indeed.
You even stayed there.
Yeah. It's a lovely place.
It's kind of great if you know what to expect. But she has said this year has been the worst year for renting the place out because it's a very sort of, it's a kind of quite old-fashioned farmhouse in the middle of nowhere in Wales.
Oh, yeah,
and it's not got mod cons. It hasn't got hot tubs and it hasn't got this and it hasn't got a state-of-the-art kitchen. It's quite ramshackle. And but it's big, you know, so sometimes people want to bring three families. It sleeps 12, so it, you know, you can fit three families in there quite easily, especially with small children, all this kind of thing. But she said this year has been very difficult in terms of what people expect in English countries holidays, because they're not getting their foreign state-of-the-art villa deals in, you know, Corfu or whatever, where they're going to shiny pools and shiny kitchens and all this kind of thing. It's Wales. It's the kitchen, you know, dates back to the 1980s. And people are saying to her, and I think this is very rude, actually, you need a new kitchen, you need this and you need that.
She's for goodness sake.
You know, she is on her own. She's a widow. And this is part of her income. And she can't just suddenly, you know, spend £50,000 doing the place up. It's not
I mean, it's
not
all
practical.
Perfect works. I mean, I've, you know, but yes, it is quite...
It's old-fashioned. It's not...
It's old-fashioned, exactly.
It's nothing...
Exactly.
You're never going to see it in World of Interiors, let's face it. But there are photos that people can look at.
Indeed.
She got complaints because someone said there was too much stuff in the kitchen. There were too many plates.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah. So it's a really fine line. So, and she said sometimes people do leave and they hide things. You know, there's a...
Hide things that they've broken.
Yeah, or a child wets a mattress and they try and turn it over and you can smell it or that kind of, that sort of thing. So it's difficult both ways. So you had four kids in the flat. That's wear and tear.
It is wear and tear, yes. I got the nightmare call from the cleaner who basically sort of said, I've just sent you 44 photographs of how they've left. Yeah, I know. So basically I'm back here on my own. Optimistically, I've packed my oil paints thinking, when I've done quite, you know, all the kind of shitty stuff, then I shall get
set the easel up.
What do I do? Set the easel up, absolutely. But I've had a bad start, a bad start because I've forgotten to. Well, first of all, I had a terrible journey down, and I was, you know, really sort of quite sleepy. Do you know what I mean? That awful thing when you're fighting.
Are you by yourself?
Yeah, I'm by myself.
Oh, Judith, you should always pull over. You know, I worry about you doing this.
Oh, well, I do. Yes.
Be very careful. Our listeners will be aghast at this point. They'll say, Judith, you must pull over. You must pull over.
Yes, but you can't pull over in the
country lanes.
I mean, you just can't. So anyway, what I did is I bought a giant pack of those very large chocolate buttons. Have you seen them? You probably... Or you wouldn't be fussing
I have. I know of them, and I think I might have seen them. I kind of get what you're saying. So it's not even a button you can fit in your mouth all in one go. It's a button you bite into.
It's huge. They're huge. They'll be on Jeff's radar. Jeff will have spotted them. He's probably got them in his desk drawer. So I bought
when
a
I go on
those.
Tour, that's what he'll be... Yeah, he'll have
he
piles
will.
Of them in.
Oh, he'll have stashes of them. Yeah, so that, and something I've never bought before, I bought a can of iron brew.
It's a strange drink. I think if you haven't got any Scottish ancestry, it's quite difficult. Because to me, it tastes like sucking a rusting pipe.
Yeah, it was very challenging indeed. Yeah. I think it did the trick. As a result, however, I arrived, and although I was absolutely exhausted, having unloaded the car on my own, which is very dispiriting, isn't it, as a process, because you can't say, oh, can you go and get this? Oh, I've forgotten that, like I do normally, issuing orders.
Yeah, it's all your fault, isn't it? When you're by yourself, it's all your fault. That's the worst thing about being on your own. No one else to blame.
Absolutely. So I couldn't sleep because of the iron brew and I think all the chocolate, and I made myself a really, really strong flask of tea. So I couldn't sodding sleep. Woken up this morning to discover that I've forgotten to pack my phone charger.
Oh, God, no.
I know. So I've got to go all the way back to Plymouth. And no swimming costume. What am I thinking of, Jenny? Useless bit of packing. Absolutely useless.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't got one. You know, in the secret room in the flat that you lock so that...
Ransacked it. Neither.
I'm so sorry.
No.
Well, I mean, it's taught you a lesson that you have to have an emergency kit in the secret room, don't you? And that comprises, basically, of phone chargers and swimming costumes. And maybe... packed those big chocolate buttons, just in case.
I just go for the buttons. I just scrub the rest. Right. So
now, what about the painting? I want to know about the painting. So you took your oils down. Have you started?
Well, what I've done, I haven't had time to do painting. And, you know,
neither have I, Judith. It's been driving me mad. It's upset me. It's upset me, Judith. I know it has.
I mean, you've got every excuse. You're about to go on tour. I haven't got any excuse.
I've never had to work so hard to learn a show in all my life.
I mean, years and years ago,
I remember doing a grumpy show with Susie Blake, and I don't think she'll mind me saying this. And I remember she turned 60 while we were doing the show. And I remember her getting very panicky about learning lines. And I really couldn't get it because I think I was 10 years younger.
Yeah, you just thought, pull yourself together.
Yeah, and in the end, she was employing another actor to come around and, you know, run the lines with her over and over. And it's just, I have found that, you know, my memory, as well, we touched on this the other week, I think, about, you know, you haven't had to think much over the past year, and so, you know, a little bit in neutral. So much so, and I'm so distracted with learning a show, so sort of, you know, worrying about it and thinking, you know, I still don't know what to wear, and I open tomorrow.
Genuinely,
we'll talk about that later. Let me just tell you about another awful thing that happened to my yin and yang last week, and I do lose it very, very badly, quite easily. But I had a turn on Friday, which was one of the worst.
Turns are quite bad in your book, aren't they?
This was bad. Okay, so I'd gone into town to do a pre-record of Loose Ends with Annika Rice. So lovely to see Annika. I adore Annika. She's one of the sort of guest interviewers on Loose Ends, and she does a lovely job with it. And so we had a gay old time, and I came home. And I suddenly, on the way home, I found it all very depressing being in town, because the BBC Broadcasting House, which is sort of home to some of my happiest memories, was absolutely empty. I mean, I cannot tell you. It was so empty.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. And then I found Regent Street. I mean, people have disagreed with me about this, but I thought Regent Street looked down at heel and missing half its shops. It looked like somebody had punched half its teeth out. You know, it's all these retail opportunities.
Really?
No, loads of things shut, yeah.
And I had the
world's most pessimistic cab driver, who was very, very down on the future of everything. And this black cloud was just coming over me and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I was getting deeper and deeper into a sort of
existential
angst.
Okay. Yeah,
so I get home and I've got my big yellow tote bag, big mustard. What do we call it? Turmeric bag, that coloured one. And
my little blue
handbag that I nicked off my mum. I thought I had that around my neck. Jeff opened the door for me. 10 minutes later, I realised I didn't have the little blue bag with my keys.
Oh, Jenny, no. Oh, shit.
So, and then I realised the phone had been on silent because I'd been in the pre-record.
So you couldn't ring it?
No. And I lost it to the point where I cannot tell you how much crying I was doing. I was like wailing like a banshee. I've never owned a pet dog or anything like that. It was like, you know, it was ridiculous. I went to the most extreme lengths of grief, and I was punching myself in the head, right, to the point where the next day my forehead was a bit tender, because I gave myself a couple of good slaps. Do you do that?
I think I might have done it once or twice. Yes, I did.
When I get so enraged and so upset, and I can't blame Jeff, I turn on myself. And I've never slapped Phoebe. I once tripped her up with an umbrella. she said something spiteful or something. I don't know, but I felt guilty enough about that. But I've never really been a slapper of anybody ever.
No.
But I turned on myself, and I gave myself a right pasting.
What did Jeff do? What does he do with you in those situations?
Well, he sort of says, right, okay, right, let's just make a list. Make a list of all the things that are in your bag that we're going to have to replace. Think carefully about what cards you've got, and because of course he has a complete deck of cards. Yes, I had all my cards, but I don't have many cards. I have two cards. I have one credit card and the normal one, you know, the usual account one. I don't have any.
Trouble is, it's half a day, isn't it? What you're looking at is half a day that's just gone.
Yeah.
But at this tracking point, it well, all down yeah. and all of
but
this.
But I'm also prepping for the show and just feeling I should be upstairs in front of that computer learning those lines, and I have to do this and weep. Anyway, Fortunately, the taxi had been booked by the BBC, so I was able to track it via Avalon,
oh,
you know,
well
my management.
Done. Well done.
So thank
done.
God they did
they found
some,
it.
And a driver came back about, he was about half an hour away by the time they got him. He came back and unfortunately Jeff had some cash, so I gave him 50 quid because, you know, yeah, I'd mucked him about and he did, I cannot, the relief of getting phone back. I mean, I bet you're feeling like that with the charger, not having the charger in Cornwall. You're looking at your phone and thinking, I've got, you know, 10% left and all that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm feeling your relief when you describe yeah, that. Utterly. Did you? Yes, it may have been a depressing taxi driver, but I bet you felt like kissing him. But I tell you what, I can't believe, Jenny, that you haven't worked out what you're wearing tomorrow night.
Oh, Judith,
you open tomorrow, don't you? Yes, you actually open tomorrow.
Yeah. It's a friendly small theatre, though, Leicester Y. So it's a nice little sort of local. You know, it's not like opening at the Albert Hall. I mean, I'm not sort of dismissing it or anything. I've started shows there before. It's a nice sort of warm entry kind of thing.
Good.
It's not a diving off the high board kind of thing.
Right.
So I think that, and it's just, to be honest, what's more important, the clothes or the show? To me, it's the show. So, you know, I've got that sorted out and I've got some, you know, I had to get some props. But then I do feel a bit, oh God, I've got this new tour manager. And he's really, really experienced, right? And he's done really big names. And I won't mention the names because it's not fair, but he was talking about a comedian that spent £250,000 on a final gag for a show, a big touring show. That was
what?
I'm not even shitting you, Judith. He spent, there's a massive tour, pre-COVID, so probably arenas, I'm not sure, but very big sort of stadium-sized venues. So you are earning huge sums of money. We're not, you know, it's not 250 people, but he spent £250,000 on his sort of encore finale piece.
But I'm puzzled. I had no idea that I suppose comedians, comedy writers would sell a piece like that for anything like that amount of money. But that really surprises me. Was it obviously not just one gag? It was a whole routine, was it?
It was a whole routine, and it involved other people. So he had to then tour other people. There were other people then touring with. And I just sort of thought, God, I have nothing. I've got one red bucket on the stage. I've got a bucket. That's all I've got. I've got a bucket which I got from Amazon for $6.99. I've got a bucket.
Oh.
That's all I've got. Don't get excited
for.
About the bucket, Judith. I tell you.
Is it in case of accidents? No.
Leaks, in case I suddenly sneeze. No. But I just sort of, you know, I just kind of withered a bit last week. I was in a sort of state where I just felt really kind of small fry. Do you know what I mean?
Well, probably you feel vulnerable, don't you? Because it's, I get it. I think what you're about to do is amazing. I mean, most of us couldn't do it. And you'll be brilliant. I know you will. I know you'll be brilliant. But I don't know when I'm going to come and see you because I'm so ridiculously busy doing
stupid
things.
Are you too busy to
see
your friend? You're too busy. Well, I'm in, I think you're in Croatia when I've got Oxford North Wall on the 11th.
Yes, I'm in Croatia when you're in Oxford. And then, get this, when you go to Hexham, because several of my mates have said, oh, Jenny's come to Hexham, are you coming up to see her? And ordinarily, I absolutely would have done. But I'm going to a wedding in Norwich. I mean, it just couldn't be worse.
Well, you can cancel that. You can cancel a wedding. I mean, you know how I feel about weddings. Judith, you'll come and see it at some point. I mean,
I'll come
if
and
you
see
don't
it at
see
Milton
it.
Keynes, I think. Milton
okay,
Keynes.
Okay, whatever. And I mean, there's always London next year as well. There's London, there's a Bloomsbury. There's a Bloomsbury on the 28th of September if you fancy a night in London. You might just fancy that by then.
Oh, might have a look at that. Might have a look at that.
Yes,
that might be possible.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. So
yes, but what will I wear, Judith?
Well, you wear
I never thought I would hear the words, Judith, what will I wear, coming out of your mouth.
Yes, I bet you. I bet.
Anyway, Judith, I think I'm doing kimono. I'm not sure.
Are you? Yes. I think that's a very good idea. I mean, not that, you know, not that I'm an expert. I'm like, no, you look lovely in it. You look absolutely lovely in it.
I've got another one as well. I've got one for the first half, one for the second half.
Oh, two kimonos. You're wearing double kimonos,
double
are
kimonos. That's, I mean, not one on top of the other. That would be fucking stupid.
Well, lots of the gang. I wonder if there'll be lots of gang members there. I think there will, won't there, in the audience.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I always think there's going to be more than there are. I have to say that I was really panicking about the show until Chiswick on Monday night, a bank holiday Monday, when it all sort of started to click into gear.
Oh, brilliant.
And I just had the feeling that there were some sort of gang members in. I said, anybody listen to Older and Wider?
Yeah.
There are only two, but they were really nice.
Gosh.
Only two, but there, I mean, it was a tiny little theatre space, but they were really nice people. You know, when you sort of just think, I've got friends in this audience, and they're sort of like...
Yeah, I can imagine.
They're kind of on side.
Mm. Well, listen, break a leg.
So, Judith, you're having a few days in Cornwall, tarting the place up. Mm-hmm. And then I thought you were going to Croatia tomorrow.
Well, no, I've got a very, very quick turnaround. So I've had to do two loads of packing. Oh God, Jenny. When we booked this holiday 2 years ago in Croatia, of course, it felt like a wonderful idea, didn't it? Been postponed, obviously, and now it's heading towards me. And all of those terrible things that we'd forgotten about, like, you know, we booked one EasyJet case between us. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Because well, you probably never fly EasyJet, but all of those
things. Yeah, of course I do.
Coming back to me, you know, where you just think you've got this. You book the flight, and then you're at that last bit, and they say, oh well, you know, the cases will cost £80 each way, or whatever it is. So at the moment, so we've got all of that going on, and I've put a pile of stuff on the spare bed for Mike, and he's probably got room for about three things, I think, in this case. We'll end up having two bloody cases.
But Judith, it's not just cycling. Like a normal holiday where you can just, you know, take I was going to say kimono, but what's the other thing? Caftan.
Well, yes,
and
you know, the
swimming costumes. Yes.
Sarong.
Yes, a sarong. And judge it up for the night time, and, you know, whatever.
The kit is having to be. Yeah, including my helmet. I'm wondering whether I could wear it on the flight, actually.
You could wear it on the flight, because if you crash, you've got more chance of survival than anybody else.
I think I haven't thought about that. I thought this is a win-win situation, potentially. So I might just do that. But also, there's been a sort of a WhatsApp group created with the people going, because we've got two immediate friends that are going, and they, in turn, have invited quite a few of their friends. So there's now a kind of Croatia 2021 group where you wouldn't know about these things.
Oh, this
sounds
horrific.
Yeah.
I do WhatsApp now. I've been forced into WhatsApp.
Oh,
the idea of having round-robin text messages with people I might not want to talk to ever again in real life horrifies me.
Yes, well, quite. Now we're all into the kind of the admin, the hell of the admin of going abroad at the moment with COVID, right?
Yeah.
So I won't name him, but there's a guy that's put on yesterday a, get this, spreadsheet of all the things that he's done so far, because he thought it would be very good for us all to...
Because he thought it would be useful for everybody.
Useful for everyone, yeah. Useful for everyone. I mean, let me just say that I have decided... I need... Not only do I need to cycle in this man's slipstream, I think I absolutely need to cling to him, you know, with any sort of... I mean, that's impressive, isn't it? I really need to live in his...
But when are you going to have your PCR then? And when are you flying?
PCR. Yeah. Well, we have to get 72 hours before flying. Yeah. And the nightmare, Jenny, of going through the Boots website and booking these fucking things. That took about half a day each. We've got them. We've got the tests. And then obviously you have to wait for the results before you can go to the airport. We've had to download things on our NHS
Have you had
apps.
To do portals? Have you had to go down
portals?
Oh,
there's been portals.
Jesus God.
There's been several portals.
Oh, no.
But anyway, this guy on the WhatsApp, what's worse than that, he's scampering on ahead. He's downloaded the stuff he needs, and on arrival he's worked out, you know, which day we have to do when we get there and before we come back and all this. I mean, I literally now have gone into, oh my God, I can't, you know, la 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 mode.
And I don't blame you. And there's a little bit that I'm getting some warning bells about this bloke. He's either going to be great and he's going to save the day, or you're going to sort of mutiny against him and he's going to walk the plank. And I'm not sure.
I think he's going to save the day. I'm going to be optimistic.
Okay, he's going to save the day. What about your gusset, though? Have you bought some special cycling shorts to keep your undercarriage?
Well, do you know what? Somebody told me on the WhatsApp group, by the way, that there's a thing called Velo Vixens.
Brilliant name. It's a brilliant name.
Isn't it great? I know. And they sell ladies' padded pants, you know, so you don't have to wear those ridiculous things that make you look like you just pooped yourself.
I think actually that you might relive your Croatian orgasm experience on this holiday. I think that cycling on a bumpy track in your Velo Vixen pants.
Do you think it might accentuate? I think it might deaden down. I think it might be the opposite.
Well, you'll have to let us know, Judith, when you get back. Basically, it'll be the first thing we want to know. Whether you managed to have an orgasm in your Velo Vixen pants on the bike.
Or otherwise. Yes,
or otherwise.
Indeed. Or a different way.
But you're going on holiday and that's great.
Yes, that would be lovely. And I love cycling holidays. They are my favourite sorts of holidays. Because you could arrive where you're going and give yourself permission to have a massive great meal. And you can stop at lunchtime and have, you know, a huge lunch.
Yeah, but there's all that cycling in between.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but you're on an electric bike, so that's all okay. As long as the bikes are in good nick and they're working, that's fine.
Oh, I tell you what might happen is that the guy that is so well organised with all the forms and everything, and I hope he's not going to have an ordinary bike when we're all on an e-bike. Because I would really fall out with him then.
Yeah,
really
You don't want somebody. Want somebody who doesn't need an e-bike in your group.
Oh no, same.
That'd be horrific.
Absolutely. No.
Yeah. Oh God. Anyway, listen. I'm sort of jealous, but I could
not.
No, I'm not. Because I'm not that. The two things, the sailing and the cycling, are sort of not in my top 10 things that I want to do.
No, they're not.
So anyway, but I do genuinely hope you have a fabulous time.
And I am jealous because you
will come back looking so fantastic. You'll have a great tan, you'll be in great shape, you'll feel brilliant, and that will make me puke. Okay, Judith, we've rambled on quite, and you've got a lot of things to do, so we shall go to Culture Corner.
Yes.
I have very thin pickings here because I've done absolutely nothing for weeks on end. I just haven't had time for anything.
Well, you've been too busy, haven't you? You've been out in the evening. You haven't had beanbag telly time.
I guess, and then when I do telly time I can't find anything I like. I really genuinely,
it's all a bit thin at the moment, isn't it? I think because of COVID we're now reaching the stage where we're waiting for them to make stuff.
Yeah, and I think that some stuff was made in lockdown, and it's because it was made, only certain things could get made. So
true.
You've got these rather small, worthy dramas. And have you watched Vigil, the submarine one?
I have. I fell asleep in the second one just because I was a bit knackered. And it is very complicated. Made by, you know, as we know, the same people as The Line of Duty. But my God, Jenny. Is this your nightmare or not, going into a submarine? I mean, given that we're both a bit claustrophobic, can you imagine?
Given that both of us struggle in the polo neck jumper. No, and my dad did it as part of his job. And he did. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know why. And there's so many questions. Honestly, I feel like digging him up sometimes. But of course, he was cremated.
And you can't ask. It's fucking curious.
And I can't ask. Now my mother's bonkers, so she doesn't remember anything. And it's such a shame. My sister knows more than I do, but I know that he did three-man submarines. He was in the tiny ones. I don't know what he was doing
hard
in them. Yeah, because he was in the parachute regiment. And he was very brave. He was sort of jumped out of things, went down to the bottom of the ocean and things. And he just didn't. He was just a kind of brave bloke.
But did he talk about it much? He can't have
no,
done that.
Not at all.
No, not at all. People didn't, did they?
No.
I remember asking my grandfather things. No, they just didn't really like to talk about it. I suppose it's just, how could you? How could you ever explain that?
Well, my dad wasn't allowed to talk about things because he'd signed the Official Secrets Act. So there were some things he just couldn't really talk about until a long time after. And then he forgot.
But a three-man submarine, can you imagine? Oh, my God, that really is the stuff of nightmares. But, yes.
Underwater. And underwater. The worst thing in the world.
God.
Yeah.
So have you watched Vigil?
I've watched the first one, then I started watching the second one. I mean, I was so... distraught last night about the cooker being broken, and then I couldn't settle in front of anything in front of the television. I've tried everything. You know, all the things people are recommending, is I've tried Vigil. When they started talking the techno speak on the submarine, I just thought, I'm bored now. This is all very good. And then I've tried White Lotus, but I think it's silly and everybody thinks it's really good, and I don't understand. That makes me cross.
Yes, that's annoying, isn't it?
And then I didn't even like The Chair, and every, you know, loads of people like The Chair.
No, I didn't either. I just thought the comedy was ridiculous.
So did I. And I find the same with White Lotus. I just think, oh, don't get silly here. Pull back from the silly. I like it when I believe it. But when it gets silly, I just think, oh, stop it.
Absolutely. No, our silly radar is quite sort of keen, isn't it?
The only thing I've been able to manage that I really enjoyed this last week, I do recommend this for all the gang, in light of the death of Charlie Watts, I loved the BBC iPlayer Rolling Stones 50th anniversary documentary Crossfire Hurricane.
Oh, it's nice.
So much old footage, Judith. And it's just that easy 70s glamour. I mean, it's just, they're all taking loads of drugs, obviously, but it just looks beautiful. And Mick Jagger was the most beautiful man in the world for many, many years.
Absolutely.
Agree or disagree?
Agree. I never fancied him, but I could absolutely see.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you? Oh, no, I was much more conventionally sort of Paul McCartney, really, and the Monkees. No. But so that says it all about me.
But I met him once, Judith.
Did you?
Tiny,
skinny or small or short or both?
Sort of, you know, the size, kind of Kylie Minogue sized. That size. Yeah, tiny.
That doesn't really help with, I haven't met Kylie Minogue either. But anyway, little queenie. Yeah. Interesting. Is that right?
Well, I mean, he came to see Jerry Hall. I was working with Jerry Hall in the West End doing the Vagina Monologues many years ago. And he came to see her because they'd split up, but they were very good friends.
They're good friends. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and it was sort of, you know, they were kind of that dressing room, and I was next door.
Were you a bit starstruck?
Well, it was just sort of, you know, I'd be there with a sort of sandwich in tin foil or whatever. And then next door there's Jerry Hall hanging out with Mick and Pete Townsend. But, you know, I wasn't ever a fan.
And was he nice? Was he friendly? Did he, did he give out?
He smiled a lot. I don't think he actually spoke to me. But I said, I probably went to... So what have you seen?
I have enjoyed these sort of Parkinson sort of retrospectives. And what he's done is that there was one that sort of collated lots of really good interviews, but he actually ran at length one with Billy Connolly and David Attenborough. It's probably in the sort of late 70s, early 80s. Brilliant. Oh my God, Billy Connolly was good in those days. Well, he still is, but just the way he would dance around. And I suppose it was just so much of its age, wasn't it? You know, he was talking about, I don't know, making jokes about lesbians and things that these days you just think, you know, nobody would do.
Yeah,
nobody would dare do. It was an innocent sort of age, really. But yeah, and interesting from that point of view. But
I can't stand Michael Parkinson, by the way.
No, it's because of what he said about women not being funny.
I think he's a twat. I mean, it's interesting that they're doing those old chat show retrospectives because they're also doing those old ones of Ruby Waxes. I haven't caught any of them.
Oh, yes. I saw one.
They might be interesting.
Yes, they are interesting. Watching her looking at herself and being very frank. I mean, they ran, again, at some length, the interview that she did with Trump on his private jet, obviously way before he sort of ran for president. And what was interesting about it, and she was really honest about it, is she said, it's the worst interview I've ever done. And the reason I was so bad at it, and you could see it happening on screen, is that he really disliked her. And he really disliked her. So you could see this woman. And I'm a bit like this.
So we all are, Judith. We all are. You want to be loved. You want to be loved. Or at least liked.
Yes,
or admired.
Exactly.
And but so once she you was, feel someone's dis- yeah. despising you.
Yes,
kind of,
yeah,
and just
yeah.
not interested in you.
Yeah, yeah. So you could see her self-confidence absolutely crumble on screen. Because he didn't get her and he didn't like her. And he said as much. He said, you know, he actually said, how does someone like you, you know, get a job like this on the BBC? And because she was sort of desperately trying to kind of, you know, find a way of pleasing him. I mean, he was an impossibly arrogant man.
That sounds really fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Maybe worth
I would give it a dip
into.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, now what about books, Judith?
Well, I'm still on the Castaways by Lucy Clarke, which is the sort of big one of the big summer reads. And you know what's happened? And you know, there's lots about it. The plot's amazing. The plot's very clever. But they're castaways on this island. And what's happened is that I have sort of suspended my I've suspended my belief, the opposite, I've suspended my disbelief. In that, what's happened is that they're in a small aircraft, they've crash landed, and they've been on the island now for 29 days, which is where I've got up to. And wait a minute, they've got towels, they've got, she's found her wash bag, they've got a baby, and she's got enough nappies. And you know that thing with fiction? Yeah. Where you just think, nah, don't really believe this could happen. And it's cumulative, isn't it? And
yeah. I mean, it's a really brave thing for a writer to try and do, because, you know, you are what they want you to do is suspend your disbelief. But if the audience is kind of going, ah, fuck, yeah, no way.
Yeah, then you just lose them. They go. Yeah. They just pack
it's
up.
It's too hard a premise. For me, as a writer, I would never attempt anything like that because my bullshit detector would just stand in the way.
Well, I think
if you want something really reassuring to take on your holidays, you would love the Cathy Rensenbrink.
Oh, the one that you've been reading.
Yeah. No, I had it on the cruise and it was just very reassuring. Everyone is still alive. And I think if you have any anxious moments, that will be your go-to.
Okay.
You know, I really do, because I'm still on Ghosted, which is, I've had no time to read at the moment. And that's a very disquieting book, so I wouldn't recommend that for you at the moment. Judith, just time for a couple of emails. There's one from a woman called Jane, 62 and 3 months, and she's a regular swimmer and a regular member of the gang. Actually, she's a recent outdoor swimming fan, only sees swimming so far and only in summer. She wants to carry on now that she lives by the sea. What further equipment is necessary, e.g. wetsuit, and how would you advise her on safety, etc.?
Oh, don't I feel
like you're important.
Get me. Well, you definitely need a tow float. You can get them from Decathlon, I think. A brightly coloured tow float, because then basically you could be seen, and if you get in trouble, you could hang on to it. They're brilliant, brilliant things, tow floats, actually. And if you get an expensive one, you can put your stuff in it as well, so you don't have to leave that.
But doesn't it hamper your swimming?
No, not at all. No, you tie it round your waist, and then it's got this kind of thing.
Why is it called a tow float? I thought you had it tied round your toe.
No, T-O-W. Oh, dear.
Well, that's the thing you have to spell out, Judith, for those of us who don't know, because I'm thinking of you trying to swim with this fucking thing hanging up your toe.
Oh, God. At least I can see how you got there. You need a toe float. You need a brightly coloured swimming cap so that people can see you. And I wouldn't go for the full wetsuit. They're quite difficult to swim in, actually, because you're so buoyant, particularly if you're in the sea. I would go for the ones that are a two-piece, and they're kind of knickerbockers, very, very unflattering. So they're kind of wetsuit to the knee, and then you get these things that are a bit clingy, and they've got that funny sort of rubbery stuff on the bottom, so they cling to you. So they're not like a full wetsuit, but they really keep you a lot warmer. And then gloves and shoes, really important. So I'll graduate up. See, I've got quite a lot to say. I would graduate, start with your gloves and your shoes, and then graduate onto your knickerbockers and top, and then if you want to carry on right through to the winter, then you will have to buy a full wetsuit. But by then you've probably got used to swimming in clothes, and you need a dry robe. You do need a dry robe.
Of course, you need a dry.
They're quite expensive. Oh, you need a dry robe because that means that you're in the gang. You know, and you'll meet other swimmers. You mean other like-minded people.
Okay. But no, very, very good advice, Judith. I was quite impressed by that. Okay, our final email today is from Emma, 43 and a quarter, and she's listened to every single podcast.
Wow.
And now finds herself talking about us as if we are friends. We are your friends, Emma.
Oh, yes, we are your friends.
We might come and stay at your house one day. She's got a mate, and she said that her mate says that Emma is like her mother, referring to Corrie cast members by their first names, because we have reached single name status in her house, just like Madonna. We are Jenny and Judith. Thank you for that, Emma. Thank you,
Lovely.
everyone for all your lovely emails. We have had some really touching messages, and you know, it's a very sort of two-way thing. If we've helped you, you help us. Thanks everybody for listening, and we shall be with you next week. I'm just checking my diary.
I should be very much pre-Croatia, all packed and ready and sitting next to my suitcase, I believe. And you'll have a week of being on tour.
I'll have done four gigs, and hopefully I've decided what works and what doesn't, and what I should be wearing. Okay, lots of love everybody, and speak next week. Take care. Bye all.
Bye.